It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. Now our text. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow you to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Isn't that a great statement right there? That's true tonight too. Till he come and rain righteousness upon you. That's what he wants to do. You have plowed wickedness. That's the indictment. That's the truth of the matter. They plowed wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Think about that. It says ye have eaten the fruit of lies. I mean, it's like they're receiving untruth. They're just taking them in. Just taking untruths in and swallowing them. You know. Verse 14, therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. Note this, the mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Our title tonight is My Sin Did This. That's the title. My Sin Did This. Father, we love you. We thank you that you speak to us. We pray the message would touch our heart tonight. We need to hear from you. God, we need you to do a work in us. And so we pray for your help, please. We love you. We thank you for Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. God, there's so many things to be thankful for. But now we need to be touched by you through conviction of the Spirit in us, Lord. I pray you'd confront us in our sin, that we would be able to, like we said tonight, acknowledge my sin did this. We'll give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. You know, in times when you have that aha moment, like aha, you know, we were playing a game with the Stooses. They had us over for hamburgers the other day, which was amazing. And we played a mystery game called Sherlock Holmes. And so I'm just going to tell you right at the start, I'm not very good at this game normally, but I had the right teammate. So, you know, in the investigative process, trying to be the investigator and figure out what the crime was and who the culprit was and what the motive was and all these, you know, aspects to it. We're getting all the clues and along the way there's clues that you're getting, and then sometimes in the mystery of this game there's that clue that just gives you the aha. Like, I had no idea it was them. And that's what makes it fun. That you find out who it was, and you know, the mystery is, you know, revealed. And usually it's not me that does that, but I had a good detective as a teammate, and we figured it out. And in the process, there's that aha, and then you win because, you know, you're just better than the opponent. So, who's in this room too? But anyway, you know what Israel needed? Israel needed an aha moment. They needed that. They had been in sin. They'd left God. They went on their own path. They were doing their own thing. And there were consequences that were coming as a result of their sins. They were experiencing these consequences. And it was a harsh consequence. I mean, it was warnings. It was things that they should expect. We talked about the hemlock in the furrows, where God says there's going to be poison along the way, and you have planted these things, you've sown these sins, and now there's going to be these consequences that are going to spring up in your life, and it's going to bring destruction to you and to those you love. And so warnings are there, and the sin has brought consequences on them, where now they're being destroyed by those they trusted. They had aligned themselves with foreign alliances so that they would overcome the enemies that were coming against them. And they gave them all this money. But the problem was the people they gave this money to, they took their money and then they became the enemy. In a stroke of irony, the ones they trusted in became the one that destroyed them. And so Israel, they needed to have an aha moment. They were going from God. They were being judged. And it was a mystery to them. You and I read it and we think, yeah, no, it's pretty obvious, but not to Israel. It was a mystery. They had done all these things and all these things were happening to them as a result of what they had done, but they couldn't figure it out. They couldn't see why they were going through what they were going through. They needed an aha moment. They needed to figure it out. Why is this happening? You know what they needed? They needed to make a connection. This is happening because I did this. Aha. And the connection is made. That's what they needed. And just like Israel needed that, you and I need that. By the way, isn't it amazing when you open the Word of God and it becomes just alive? And so what God was saying to Israel, he says still today. And it's so audible that it's like you can hear his voice talking straight to you. It's amazing. And he has a message like that tonight. I think there's a help tonight that if we would just ask God to help us, then each and every, I mean, for some of us, it might be on a daily basis. We'll have those aha moments. And you know why you'll have it? Because you're letting God reveal things to you. You're letting God help you to see. And that's when things get exciting. That's whenever the mystery goes away and there's joy in your life. And there's all of these struggles and turmoils are just replaced because God is helping us to see. Israel needed that. As a matter of fact, let me show you. Look at verse 11. It says, Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught. Now let's talk about that for a minute. A heifer is just a cow. And a cow that is taught basically has been trained. They know how to work the field. They know how to work the grain. They know how to thresh the crops that are in the threshing floor. So they're in a harness. They're yoked and they're going around on the grain and they're stomping on it and they're threshing it out. They're preparing it for use. And so this is an easy job. This is a good job. Why is it a good job? Well, in fact, look what it says in verse number 11. I failed to say it. It says, and loveth to tread out the corn. And so he enjoys this job. Well, why? Because in Leviticus, listen to this. You know what God said to the children of Israel in the book of Leviticus? He says, don't muzzle the ox. Remember that? And then he repeated it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 9 when he talked about the man of God. In other words, he labors and he sows and he produces fruit. Well, he doesn't produce fruit, but God, through the man of God, produces fruit. And what the ox is, who's unmuzzled, is able to do is he's able to eat of the fruit of what he's producing in his labor. So in other words, what Paul does is he makes the point, you need to take care of the man of God. You need to let him eat of the fruit of the offering of what God is doing and the fruit of the church. And so it's a Levitical law that God would say, don't muzzle the ox, let him eat of his labors. And so, yeah, it makes sense that a heifer or a cow or an ox would enjoy to thresh the corn because he's harnessed and he has a job, but it's an easy job. And he gets to eat of the fruit that while he does it. So here's what God is saying. He's saying, Israel, you're the heifer. It's not a bad thing. He says, you're the cow, you're the cattle. And you have such an easy task. I've taken you into the land of Israel, into the Canaan land. The milk, I gave you the answer. The land that floweth with milk and, yeah, God says it's good. You know why it's good? Because it's all prepared and I made it for you. Amen. So when you go into the land, you're not going to have arduous labor. I mean, you're going to be yoked and the food is going to be there and you're going to be well taken care of. That's what Israel had. God said, I provided it all for you. You were the cow. You were blessed. You had all of these fruits of God's blessings on you. But to Israel, it wasn't enough. To Israel, they had all of this fruit and the blessing, and although there was joy and ease there and happiness of the within those blessings, they wanted something more. They wanted something different. And so here's what they did, is they threw off God, they turned away from God, and they began to pursue false gods and idols and align themselves, like I said a minute ago, to these other nations to support and to help them and to strengthen them in battle. But while doing that, they turned away from God. Amen. And so God says, because you've done that, look what I'm going to do, verse 11. So he loveth to tread out the corn, but I passed over upon their fair neck. This is producing the imagery of God taking that easy yoke off of that cow and replacing it with a hard, arduous, laborious task of plowing. And he speaks of that in the rest of verse 11. He says, you're going to have to plow the earth, and you're going to have to, you know, you're going to have to grind up clods, and it's going to be arduous and difficult. And what God had designed to be of ease, and what God had designed to be of pleasure and blessing on Israel, in which they did have, because they turned away from God and pursued wickedness, now they had a difficult yoke and a hard and arduous task. I'm going to come back to verse number 12. Look at verse 13. He says, ye have plowed wickedness. Now, this is God telling Israel what they had done. This is God telling Israel why they were having this yoke of ease replaced with an arduous yoke of difficulty and struggle and hardship. Well, why was it? Because they no longer pursued God. They no longer committed themselves to their covenant relationship with God. In fact, they replaced that with a sort of a covenant with a false god and idols and idolatry. And their wickedness is what caused this trial in their life. He says, you've plowed wickedness, you've reaped iniquity. You've eaten the fruit of lies. You know, that's, I mentioned it in our reading, but I think it needs to be said again, because it's so central to what I believe Hosea is saying to his people and God's saying to us. Is that they had been given lies, they had produced lies, they had swallowed lies. And the idea is what they were doing is they were leaving God and pursuing wickedness, but they were not understanding the reason for the consequences, because they were swallowing lies. They were not making the connection. They weren't seeing why they were going through what they were going through. And God wanted them to see. I want you to know that God would put things on the bottom shelf. And by the way, he still does that for you and me. And you know what I mean when I say God puts it on the bottom shelf? God doesn't make it complex and complicated. He makes it simple and easy. He wants everybody to get it. He wants you to get it. And so God doesn't make it this mystery so that we can't connect the dots and put things together and make the connection. Although Israel didn't, God isn't the one who's making it hard. And he doesn't make it hard for you and me. And we go through what we go through, but God wants you to see why you're going through what you're going through. He puts it on the bottom shelf. He doesn't want you to be blind to it, although often we are. And so Israel, they're swallowing the lies and they're not seeing it. Look what it says next in verse 13. It says, because thou didst trust in thy way. That's telling, isn't it? Trusting in their way, as opposed to God's way. Not just living life their way and doing things their way, but turning away from God and seeking, you know, success and victory by other means. And so because of this, God says in verse 14, therefore shall the tumult arise among the people. And by the way, that's God putting it on the bottom shelf. That word therefore is God saying, hey, because of your wickedness, because of what you've done, because of your sin of leaving me and, you know, pursuing these things, therefore shall the tumult arise amongst thy people. He goes on and he says, the fortress shall be spoiled. That means to be ground into rubble. And the nation ground to rubble. And this is what they should expect. Then he gives an example. He speaks of Shalman, who was spoiled by Beth Arbel. And he gives some details there of that story. Now, this is a story we wouldn't be able to study in the Bible and know of this episode, but the people that Hosea, the children of Israel, would have known about this. And the detail that's given there is that mothers were not just murdered and killed, but the Bible says here that their bodies were cut into pieces. And then in this egregious conflict and battle, the pieces of the mothers was placed around their babies, around their children. And God says, in this judgment that was taking place, and you remember this, this is what's going to happen to you. This is what you can expect. I mean, this is a hard thing. This is a trial, a deep trial. This is God saying that there's judgment that's coming. There's judgment that's been there. There's judgment that's coming. And here's what you would be wise to do. Look at verse 15. Here's what you would be wise. This is God saying to Israel, also to us. This is what you would be wise to do. So shall Bethel do unto you, note, because of your great wickedness. So God is saying, he's putting it together. What Israel is failing to see, God is wanting them. He's trying to make it so clear that they can't miss it. You have done this, and it has brought this to you. Why? Because of your wickedness. Because of your sins. So it's as though God is saying, I want to help you connect this together. Your sin did this. God's wanting to help them to connect it. What if they saw? What if they are hearing this message from God and then it hits them? You know? Like my sin, and by the way, for them it would have been specific. And don't worry, we're going to get to some specific things for us. But for Israel, it would have been specific. And God is revealing to them not just what they did and the consequence, but why the consequence is because of their wickedness. And my question is, what if they got it? What if they put it together? What if they decided to see? Well, that's when we jump back to verse 12, because this is what they could expect. Ooh, this is good. Look at verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in, say that next word, mercy. That's a good word, isn't it? Yeah, let's go on. Break up your fallow ground. It sort of reminds me of what Jesus taught, cultivating the soil of the heart, where God is breaking us from within. So God is saying to Israel, see what you've done and what it's bringing into your life, and let your heart be broken. It's what God is saying. Let your heart be broken. Won't you let your heart be broken? You see, if they saw, if they opened their heart, if they would just make the connection, put it together, this is in my life because I did this. And our eyes are open, and God says, what it will do in your life is it will drive you to your knees. If you'll, God is saying to Israel, if you'll just see why you're going through this, it's because of your sin, then you'll have the moment. Aha. I see. I see why I'm going through this. It's my sin. And when you see, Israel, it'll take you to your knees. And guess what happens when you go to your knees? Because you're seeking God. Mercy. Mercy. So you can find mercy. If you'll let your heart be broken, God says to Israel, if you just see, why is this happening? Why are we going through this? And God is putting it on the bottom shelf. It's because of your wickedness. Won't you just see that? Israel, they struggle to see, but if they would just open their eyes, if they would just let their heart be broken, it would drive them to their knees and they would seek God, like it says in verse 12, that they would seek him and they would find mercy. And I love the imagery. It says it would rain. Rain. Don't you love rain? We don't get enough of that. It would rain righteousness from God. Oh, man. Don't you know that would be a blessing if it just rained righteousness from God? Man, I wish it would rain righteousness from God in my life. But instead, we just have all this turmoil. No. You know, we have sin in our life sometimes, and it brings turmoil to us. I'm going to say that again. We have sin in our life sometimes, and it brings turmoil to us. But here's the problem that we have. So often we're more like Israel than we would be willing to admit. We're so critical of Israel because it's like God's putting it on the bottom shelf and we're wondering, how can they be so dumb? But yet God puts it on the bottom shelf for you and me. And he's trying to reveal to us, you know why you're going through what you're going through? You know why you're going through these trials and it's so hard for you right now? And why your finances are such a burden for you right now? And why your health is such a problem in your life right now? And you have all of these issues in your family with your marriage or with your kids or with, you know, extended family or your neighbors? Or you know why you're having so much trouble in your job? And God is trying to help you to see. You're having all these struggles. You know why you slammed your finger in the door the other day? And God is trying to help you to see. You know why you got pulled over and you got that ticket the other day? Because God is trying to help you to see. He allows struggles and hardships in our life. And then he shows us it's because of your wickedness. If we would only see that God is letting this happen because of our sins. Amen. You know, I was thinking about this, and I couldn't help but think about people who are having health problems that are related to their diet. And we're having these health problems, and I say we meaning, I'm not thinking of somebody, but generally speaking, somebody has a health problem, and then it's a very specific kind of health problem, and a family member or a friend or a clinical person or somebody that loves them comes to them and with courage, because it's not always easy to talk to somebody about health problems when it's related to their eating. And finally, somebody with courage comes to them and says, you know what? I think you might be going through this because you have too much sugar in your diet. You know what often people do whenever they're confronted about how much sugar they're taking in? Come on. It's like everybody else. It's not sugar. Come on. It's not the ho-hos that I'm eating. You know? You know why you have a loved one who says that to you? Because they care for you and they want to help you. But you know what sometimes happens is we have health problems. And it's related to what we're eating, but it's also related sometimes to how much we're eating. And we're gluttonous. And we're out of control. And so because of that, there's health-related issues. And God is putting it on the bottom shelf for you. He wants you to see this is why you're having these problems. And he sends people into your life to try to help your eyes to be opened so that you'll see. But what we do is, like Israel, is we close our eyes because we don't want to see it. We make excuses about it. Oh, well, it's not this. It must be something else. That's what Israel is doing. But it's not just our health that's the issue. There's struggles that God brings into our life, not just because of sin. Sometimes struggles are related to a test God is doing in our life. And so we need to discern and get wisdom from God. But if it's sin in our life, he's going to reveal it to you. He's going to put it on the bottom shelf for you so you'll see. And then when we're confronted with it, we need to allow our eyes to be open. You know what? You know why I might be going through these things? Is because my attitude stinks. Things aren't going my way. You know what people sometimes do when things aren't going their way? They fold their arms. Now, there's some of y'all that are folding your arms out there. I know you have an attitude problem. No, it's, I know it's you. You're cold out there. No. It might be that we're going through some of the things we're going through because our attitude isn't good. It might be. And God wants to help you to see that. It might be we're indulging. We already talked about gluttony and food, but it's not just that we indulge in sometimes. Sometimes it's internet Sometimes we won't turn it off because we can't turn it off. We can't control ourselves. And God's wanting you to see, you know why you're having these trials in your life? Because you won't turn the TV off. You know why you're having this struggle? Because you won't turn the internet off. Because you won't go to bed, you're watching YouTube or Netflix or whatever until 2 a.m. And God's saying, listen, you're having these trials in your life because you won't stop. You're indulging. You're like, oh, you know, we make excuses. We say, well, it's something else. When God is putting it on the bottom shelf, he wants you to see why, because he wants to pour, he wants to rain righteousness in your life. He wants you to see. Why am I going through this? Why is it like this? Why is this so hard? Could be your temper. Could be your anger. We talked about that in Sunday school. You're like, oh, here we go again. No, it could be our temper and our short fuse. And we justify it because people frustrate us and they get in our way. When God says, you know, there's some trials you're going through right now, and it might be because you won't stop losing your temper. You need to control yourself. But we need to see it. It might be our expectations. Ladies, let me have your attention. Guys have expectations too, but... No, let's just say but guys and girls. I'm going to be in trouble. Expectations. Do you know when your expectations aren't met, what it always brings? Disappointment. Let me say that again. You know when your expectations aren't met? Because at times we have the wrong expectations in people. And when people fail, because they will, then we're disappointed with those people who failed us. And those wrong expectations, that's sin in our life. You know who our expectations should be? The Lord. And guess what? He'll never fail you. And you know what? When you're walking with God, guess what you can have towards other people? Mercy. Because you are thankful for his mercy in your life. It might be our expectations, and it's bringing these consequences. One more. You're like, man, is this going to end? Yeah, one more. This is I would say this is one of the biggest, if for not us men, the biggest. And it's lust. Lust. You know, lust can reveal itself in what you look at online. Lust can reveal itself in what you look at when you're driving down the road. It's not, listen, when you're tempted, you look the first time, you're in sin when you look the second time. You see? But lust isn't always just what you actively look at or actively do. Lust is also in your mind. And it could be that we've indulged in these lustful things and we've justified our lustful activity, our lustful thinking, and God has brought consequences in our life, and we wonder why. And God is, here's all he wants you to do is to make the connection. Amen. Are you getting it tonight? All God wants you to do is just make the connection. Here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to have this. Aha. I see. It's not a mystery anymore. I know why this is happening in my life. It's because of my sin. And you know when you get to that point, when you get to that point where you admit it, you realize it and you admit it, you know what it'll always do? It'll bring you to your knees. Because you'll no longer be blaming everybody else around you, your circumstances or your pesky health or whatever, but you're blaming the real culprit, and that's you and your sin. It'll bring you to your knees, and you'll seek God. And when you seek God, what you'll find is mercy. And God wants to be merciful to you. He wants to rain righteousness and blessings in your life. But you have to connect it. You have to put it together. You have to see this trial and this struggle is because of this sin in my life. And this is just good counsel, by the way. You don't just need this tonight. By the way, we needed this tonight. God knows. But we need this every day. Because we have sin problem that's not going to leave until we're in heaven. And so next time you slam your finger in the door, maybe we should first of all say, was I just not being wise? Is God have a test for me? Or do I have sin in my life? Because it might be that you're having a trial, and this is because of your sin. And if you know it's true tonight and it's in your life, we're almost done right here. if you know it's true, that what you're going through is related to your sins, let it bring you to your knees, to repent, to seek the Lord, to acknowledge it and admit it. Say, God, I have this sin in my life, and it's something I want to change, I want to get rid of, I want to get it out of my life, I want to walk in the Spirit and do it as you would call me to do, as your will is. And that's a good start of finding God's mercy, finding God's blessings, the hand of judgment being removed and replaced, the reign of righteousness. Let's start by going to our knees.